Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And he is presented by our proud partner, Golden State Lumber and Showroom, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. And he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. Now we got Baldy in for his weekly visit here on Tuesdays. And Baldy, we'll start off right here. As the Jaws music is just getting me more and more pumped up. It's great. That game on Sunday night, Baldy, what was more impressive to you? The fact that Christian McCaffrey finally, for the first time all season long, looked like the CMC of old on the ground? Or the fact that they held the number one rushing offense in the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons, to less than 100 yards?
Nah, it's hard to rank that, Joe, because both were really impressive. And, you know, McCaffrey hasn't looked like that since 2023. Pick a week. So it's been 2 years since he looked like that. So that was impressive. But that is a great rushing offense. I mean, they were great last year. I mean, that offensive line, outside of the right tackles, the same guys that played last year, same guys that ran for 200 yards against Buffalo the week before. And to shut Bijan down, not let him get an explosive run with minus Fred, minus Nick. I hope I don't have to even mention that anymore. I mean, it's still hard to realize Fred's not in there. But, I mean, the way that Taylor Bethune played and, you know, D. Winters, the whole group, I mean, it was impressive what they did. I mean, I watched some of these games and these linebackers are sitting back and they're just catching blocks. And they're wondering why these running backs are getting 5 and 6 and 7 yards a carry. Like, the 49ers didn't play that way. They just attacked the line of scrimmage. And that's how you got to play. I mean, that's how Fred played, you know, for 8 years. But that's how you got to play the game. You can't let these double teams and these combo blocks of these guys start moving your down linemen and, you know, and all of a sudden you get picked off. And next thing you know, they're like Christian was all night long. He's on his way to the safety. Like, you let that happen, and Bijan's going to run for 150 yards.
What was it about Christian's game that was so mesmerizing? What was it, the offensive line play? Was it his vision? I loved it, just how his feet were just explosive and he was gliding through holes. And I felt like he was finishing runs and getting to that second and third level. But for you, Brian, what was so...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Different about this week. Why were they so good?
I thought Trent played his best game all year. I thought Trent was really good. All right. So he looked different than he's looked in any game. Now, he might, you know, he might question my opinion on that. That's okay. But I mean, I thought movement wise, I thought he was the best he's been. You know, they lost their center. So, they, you know, you lose a starting center. You know, Hennessy comes in there. He plays well. But I thought, like, if you look at that second touchdown run of McCaffrey, like, he stopped at the four. And he powers his way into the end zone. And then the other touchdown run from the one, I mean, honestly, the crease is 6 inches. It's a 6-inch crease. And he sees it like this, and he's right through it. So I thought his vision, Joe, to your point, was spot on. Like, I don't think he missed a cut. And I remember last year when he was struggling, I saw him in Green Bay a week after I broke him down, and he missed a big hole. And, you know, like, you know, some of these guys watch this stuff, and, you know, their older eyes probably. But McCaffrey, he seeked me out. He's like, you were right, Baldy, man. I missed that last week. Like, he was watching it, you know. But I can't find a play yet last week where he missed a cut, where he missed the opening. So that – and then the other point is, like, when he's jumping, when he's literally jumping through holes, like, I feel like that's the explosive step that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I thought Shanahan adjusted for what we've seen – in the last couple of years. I don't want to get too nerdy about it. You're the expert, not me. But it was less of the outside zone and more of the power football between the tackles. They even gave a stat at halftime. 60 yards between the tackles is the most that McCaffrey's had going back to 2022. And that was for a whole game. But that he had accomplished that in one half. So stylistically, did you notice something different than what Shanahan did? And should they keep doing it?
Well, they're in eye formation a lot. You know, Juice was dotting the eye. He was dotting the eye with Juice. And so, you know, and just getting Kittle out there, not that he played great and, you know, he had like pancake blocks or anything like that, but it's just something about when Juice and Kittle are working in concert together and how well they know each other on the move. And I think that's a comfort level, honestly, for Christian, seeing both those guys on the field for the first time all year. There was a cutback to the right, and Kittle was in motion, and, you know, he got Leonard Floyd, and, you know, I kind of hooked him or whatever, and McCaffrey saw it, and he just cut right off. And I just think sometimes you see 85 and 44 out there, there's a real comfort. I mean, I don't think that's guesswork. I mean, I just think that's a real thing.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, Spadoni and Chasky, courtesy of River Islands. And in talking about the offensive line, Matt Hennessy, what did you see from him when he filled in for Jake Brendel? And not to say that, you know, he's you know, take over and take his role, but, I mean, the offensive line continued to look good when he was out there. He was pulling McCaffrey into the end zone. They were talking about on the broadcast saying it should have been a penalty. I was like, to hell with that. If we get the tush-push, we're able to pull these guys in, right, Baldy? But what did you see from Matt Hennessy taking over for Jake Brendel, who's going to be out for the next few weeks with a hamstring strain?
Well, you know, I mean, I've known Matt. He went to Temple. So I used to go over there and, you know, Matt Rule was the coach there when he was there. And I'd go over and watch practice. And so I've known Matt since then. And then, you know, he was drafted by the Falcons. You know, the irony is, you know, he gets his shot against the Falcons, whose defensive front is really good. I mean, they got some powerful guys inside. He was left one-on-one. I always thought Matt was a try-hard guy, but he was undersized for the NFL. I mean, that's why, honestly, he moved on from Atlanta. But he's a smart kid. He understands the game. You can have real football conversations with Matt. He understands it. And he has to rely on his intelligence. And, you know, he's not a big guy, but he's got leverage. And so, you know, you see him, like, he's just trying to let some of these defensive tackles walk him back as slow as possible, just giving up ground grudgingly. And so, but he's lived on quickness. That's kind of his game. You know, he's undersized, but he's got good quickness. And so, and he's got, he understands leverage. So I thought he went in there and he played about as well as I've seen Matt play, be honest with you, in that game last week.
Yeah, I was, I think we were all pleasantly surprised. It's third and 13, third and 14. They're up 13 to 10. It's late in the game. They're in the middle of a 5.5 minute drive. And you have a pass play where Kittle's coming across the middle and he kind of fills this little area in the middle of the field. And Mac just ever so looks at him with the face mask and brings the linebacker over and then rips a perfect throw to CMC that gets him a first down. I thought that was the play of the game for Mac Jones. How well did he play in this game, Baldy?
Well, you're exactly, I mean, you're describing it right. Caden Ellis was a linebacker that literally boxed, he was looking to box Kittle. And as soon as Mac Jones saw Caden Ellis turn to see the crosser of Kittle coming in the middle, he ripped it. So like that, I mean, honestly, I don't know that there's a stopwatch that can time the amount, how quickly you make that decision. Like it's lickety split. He's reading. I mean, he's the hook curl player right there, you know, in that zone. And as soon as he sees Caden Ellis, you know, turn to box Kittle, he goes right to McCaffrey. And honestly, that throw, it's a dangerous throw if it's not in the right spot. You got a safety driving on it. You got a corner behind it right there. Ellis is going to react to the ball in the air. Like, it's going to be a collision right there. And it was right at the 4-yard line. But I totally agree. I mean, that's third down, as you're saying, Joe. And, you know, all Atlanta's trying to do with 3 minutes to go in the game is hold them to a field goal and then give them, you know, give Penix one more shot to go win the game with a touchdown.
Baldy, what a game from Bryce Huff. I mean, this guy was flying all over the place. The speed is real. They were trying to chip him. They were trying to double block him. Wasn't working. He was getting to Penix and making him uncomfortable. But then, as is the case for a lot of the Niners games, on a Monday, we get the news he's going to be out for a couple weeks due to a hamstring strain. I know. The hits keep coming. What did you see from Bryce Huff, and how big of a loss, obviously, is that for the next couple weeks?
Well, he's our best pass rusher. And I got to admit, like I texted my friend in Philly. You know, he was signed as a free agent for $51 million by the Eagles last year, and they just didn't know how to use him. It didn't fit their system or what Vic Fangio likes. So it wasn't a knock on Bryce. They're just asking him to drop into coverage and play outside linebacker. He is a pass rusher. Now he's playing a little bit more than that. But first of all, Sala found him. Sala developed him in New York. He was trying to build his, you know, an 8-man front up in New York with 8 guys. Like, honestly, he just wanted 8 barracudas up there that just got after the quarterback. And he was one of them. And he got to 10 sacks 2 years ago. But I think Sala loves him. I think he gets confidence from knowing how Sala's going to use him and move him around. But, you know, they knew who he was. I mean, they were chipping him and doubling him and putting guys on him. He was still winning. But, you know, that the one hit on Penix, like, I'm surprised he got up like he did. I thought he might have fractured some ribs as hard as he hit him. Because he's looking, he's left-handed, he's looking the other way, and Huff is coming to his backside. That's a big loss, though. They don't have any best. Because I was just texting somebody about Getoff. They were asking about Aiden Hutchinson last night. And I'm like, you can't win the 100-meter dash if you don't have a great takeoff. Like, his takeoff is, it's just like, you know, there's guys in Denver, there's a couple guys in this league. They're at the top of the charts, and I don't follow his metrics. I can just see it. But he's got an unbelievable takeoff, and he really times the snap, and he really puts the tackles in a bind because he's on him so quickly. No matter how – unless you're Lane Johnson or Trent, like most of these guys are going to struggle against him.
I mean, how do they fill this void? Like, there was a play before the end of half, and, you know, there's 17 seconds to go. Penix takes a shotgun snap. Huff, like, stunts around the whole formation and then forces Penix to throw a lollipop ball out of bounds that lands right with 10 seconds. They run a 10-second runoff because of the illegal grounding, and they don't get a field goal attempt. Like, that's a lost play that takes points off the board. Huff made that whole play. How do they find a way to offset this loss?
And, you know, and honestly, that play, you know, he's the left end on that play, Joe, that you're describing. And he basically is just an instinct. Like, he came around, it wasn't taught, but he saw Penix, you know, in his eyes. And he just instinctively came around and then had that burst to him. He got his hands up and, forced the intentional grounding, got him out of field goal range. So, I mean, but you know, it's like Nick, it's like Fred, like there is no replacement on the roster that can do the things that Bryce is doing in this. Now, maybe Gibson gets a shot, and I don't know if, who else is on the practice squad or other guys that are out there. Honestly, I think they've Ukuanu, I'm probably screwing up his name.
Ukuanu.
Like he played really good, but he doesn't have that type of a takeoff.
No, he's not a bend guy. He's a power bull rush guy.
Yeah, he's a power. Yeah, he's a power. But they don't have another guy quite like that. That's why they signed him. Honestly, like now I'm sure Saleh went to bat for him even after the disappointment in Philadelphia, which I don't even know if he had a sack last year. But he didn't use him right. He looked out of place. But this is the perfect, front for him. Now now to Saleh's credit, like he went deep in the bag on some pressures the other day that we haven't seen from any defensive coordinator since Saleh left. And he didn't really do some of the stuff in New York either. But he had some good pressures, some overload pressures, some free hitters coming at Penix. Like he did a pretty good job of creating pass rush. Now you're going to be, you're going to be vulnerable on the back end if you don't get home on some of this stuff. But I thought they affected Penix pretty good.
We're talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, Odyssey NFL Insider. And Baldy, we actually brought it up yesterday. I don't mean to kick the guy on his way out of here, but I don't know if they win that game with Nick Sorensen as their DC last year. I don't know.
There's not a chance in hell.
I'm just telling you. What Saleh did? Can you speak to that, Baldy?
Saleh is a motivating guy. Period. Okay. Now I'm not saying Nick isn't. Most coordinators are pretty emotional. The guy on the other side in Atlanta is good. Jeff Ulbrich. They were all on Saleh's staff together in New York. They know each other. Ulbrich is really good at what he does. But, just watch. Like, I didn't see a game last year, not one, where they pursued like they did, this weekend against Atlanta. Like, that pursuit was – you can't watch that game and not see it. I don't care if you're a football fan, whatever you are. Like, they had seven guys sprinting to the football every play. Like, that's a mindset. I don't think they had that mindset under Nick. So that was last year. I mean, it was hard to watch last year. I used to say on this show a lot of times last year, Joe, like they were hard to watch because they looked slow, but they played slow. Yeah. They didn't sprint to the football last year. I mean, it was a disgusting game they lost to Seattle on the final drive. Like there was no – Nick went out of the game. There was just no effort. Like the effort they played with was a winning effort the other night. That's a good football team. That's a talented team. You hold that team to 10 points, the lowest point total of the season. You could be real proud of yourself after that one.
Yeah, and I thought like random guys are stepping up. Malik Mustafa, big hit on Algier. Tatum Bethune, yep. Green dot helmet. I mean, I thought he looked great. You obviously referenced Chase Lucas and Darrell Luter. Like even the biggest Niner fans, like who are some of these guys? And yet they're all in positions to make plays. Who's the guy for you on that defense that as you were watching the film, you were like, wow, this guy might be a player for them?
Well, I'm just impressed by Michael. Like he's just his size and power. Like he closed the back door and a couple cutbacks. Like he's just going to get better. Now he's got to learn pass rush. You got to learn how to. That's just how to get your hands on guys. How to see your the man that's blocking you or the combination of guys and how to elude them and how to crush the pocket. But I mean, he plays the game so physically and he's so strong. Like he's just an impressive specimen when you see him on film, and he plays he plays hard. He's healthy, like he's an impressive guy. But I mean the hit by Mustafa, like that guy honestly, like Ronnie Lott would get excited watching that guy going to hit people. John Lynch is probably spilling his coffee up there in the booth, watching some of those hits. Like the game's changed, obviously, since John played or Ronnie played. There's a lot of things you can't do. But when you can put one right to the solar plexus and knock the living wind out of somebody, and stop Tyler Algier at 225 pounds in his tracks and make him go backwards, like, you can't help but get excited.
No, absolutely. And it felt like for the first time all season, I really saw the 49ers be the more physical team on both sides of the trenches. And it was refreshing to see for Niner fans not only dominate the run, but dominate the other team, because all this talk about Bijan, who still had a pretty solid game.
Pretty special.
He is. For Bijan, though, that was like a C-plus performance for him because he's just the standard is so high with him. But, Baldy, I wanted to talk about the quarterbacks here. Brock Purdy, they talked about it on the broadcast, Melissa Starks, NBC. about right big toe for Purdy, right underneath that ligament being torn. He's day to day, I guess, according to Diana Russini of The Athletic. He tried to work out on Sunday night, didn't feel great. They're calling it day to day, and it's not looking like he's going to start this week against the Texans. Where are we at with Brock Purdy going forward? And I don't know, like would they just be better off shutting this guy down going forward, Baldy, and just sticking with Mac?
I don't know, because I don't know, there's so many different various levels of this turf toe injury. I've had it, and I don't know what degree mine was, but the thing that is really frustrating about it is, it's ended a lot of guys' careers, to be honest with you. And I could go through the history of some of the guys that whose careers ended because of it. But it's really hard to practice with. That's the thing. It's not going to feel great. And you can get through a game with it. But the next day, just walking, you're going to walk like you're an old man. You're going to walk with a limp. You're going to take the pressure off the toe. You're never going to stop thinking about it. Every step, you're going to feel it. Now, until that goes away, I don't know that they can put him back out there, because you have a great chance in this business, because of all the things that can happen on any given play, of re-injuring him. And you just don't know. That's the last thing you want, because then you're going to be done for the season. So the more time you can give it, the better the prognosis is going to be that you're going to be able to get back out there on the field. And if they were just horrible, which they clearly aren't, if they were just horrible at that position, then you'd try to push them out. But the fact that Mac is playing really smart and playing really good football, it makes it a little bit easier and a little more palatable to just go, let's give this thing another week. Let's give this, instead of day-to-day, it should be week-to-week, because the day-to-day thing is going to change it. It's not going to change in a day. So that's just, verbiage. But honestly, if your quarterback is playing as well as Mac is playing, then I think you have a luxury right here to try and get this thing as healthy as possible.
Baldy, you keep referencing how well Mac's playing. For those that are out there, how well is he playing? The stats aren't gaudy. They don't have a lot of weapons right now. They really could use Ricky Pearsall back. But from your eyes, how well is Mac playing?
Well, he's finding the open receiver, which is not easy to do. And there's a lot of difficult throws in this offense over the middle of the field that you got to make. And he made a couple of those. It wasn't a lot. Obviously, Bourne didn't have a big day. Nobody really did. He really couldn't get the ball to Kittle in any ways. They're just limited right now by where you can go with the ball. And they didn't get the deep shots down the field. That defense has played great now. All they did was add defense through the draft and free agency to bolster that thing. They're a top 10 defense for a reason. They're not giving you those shots over the top that we had seen in other games where Bourne's getting, 150 yards or whatever. That's not there in that defense. So you kind of take what that's why Christian had such a big day catching the ball. You got to go other places with it right now. And even the throws to Christian, you can complete all the passes to him. It doesn't mean he's going to do a lot with it after the catch. It's location where he can really catch it on the run. And that's what you're seeing is you're putting it in the right location where Christian can make guys miss in front of him and not have to stop to, turn around to catch the ball.
He had a really nice third down play where he held the ball just long enough and was scrambling toward the left sideline and then did a lob pass at the last second as the linebacker broke toward him to dump it off to Christian McCaffrey to sustain that drive and get them in position to score a touchdown. If Mac plays like he's been playing throughout this year, can they make the playoffs?
Well, I think Seattle's in Los Angeles are really good. You're going to see those teams again. You got the one win against the Rams, which is great. You got the win against Arizona, which is great. So you're good so far in the division. But those games are probably going to decide. I don't know if they're going to get three teams in the playoffs, because the NFC North is highly competitive right now. You've seen what Detroit did last night, and that was with a completely backup, secondary that they played against Tampa. And some of those kids, literally, I had to go find, who Eric Hallett was and Nick Whiteside. I didn't know who some of these guys were. And they shut that team down last night. So I feel like it's going to be, look, they keep winning these games. Okay. If you find a way to win five more games, you're going to get to the playoffs. But it's every game is going to probably be a nail biter. 13-10, like you're describing, you know, deep into the fourth quarter, you know, we had to make a play and they made the play. So, like all these games, that's what it's going to come down to.
Baldy, one more for you here before we get you out. George Kittle, you referenced him earlier. I mean, is it as simple as the running game goes as Kittle goes? Like, it can't be just that the blocking tight end, and I know he's a Hall of Famer, he's one of the best to ever do it, but God, I guess maybe I even underestimated how badly that line missed him because it was incredible. Is it as simple as Kittle's back so the running game's back?
No, it's not. I mean, it's easy to make that assessment because he's in the lineup for the first time and McCaffrey has the best game, but I didn't feel like he was the difference maker. I thought, honestly, like what Trent did in that game, because I used to say to McCaffrey, I used to tell him, like, no matter where the play starts, it always finishes behind Trent, you know, and a couple times it did the other day. Like, he was just moving bodies, like very few, maybe Penei Sewell. There's a couple guys in this league that can really move big bodies, and Trent was on his game. So there was a couple runs that were, and they ran the toss crack. They got Trent out there. They got some guys out in the perimeter, and they hit a couple of those runs. But, you know, to your point, you know, Joe, like, you know, they ran between the tackles a bunch. And I just thought the blocking was much better up front too, you know. And, you know, and some of the motions that Kyle was doing to get some of the guys out of the box and make it a little easier to pick them off in the run game. But I thought it was more than just Kittle out there for Christian. It was clearly the best he's looked in 2 years.
All right, Baldy, I lied. One more, and then you're out of here. We're giving away a pair of passes to the new Springsteen movie, Springsteen, yeah. Deliver Me From Nowhere, plus a $100 gift card right after 8 o'clock. So in a couple minutes here, people got to be locked in. Look, you got to have a Bruce Springsteen story. The boss, Baldy, what's your Bruce Springsteen story?
I got a bunch. I tell you what, I was in I was at San Siro Stadium in Milan, the largest state, you know, soccer stadium in all of Italy.
Milan.
Obviously, you know, crazy soccer country, right? So, you know, I knew all the guys in the band. I knew the manager for Bruce, Terry McGovern. And so I got my boys. In fact, I think Eric Shanks, who runs Fox Sports, I think he came to the show. So we got them all these passes and everything. And they're in the middle of this European heat wave. They hadn't had rain all, like all spring, no rain, right? So anyways, we, you know, we got our cooler. We're set up right in the front of the stage, and we got the whole setup. We're ready to rock and roll, man. And about five songs into the show, out of nowhere, it starts to drizzle. And people are like opening their mouths and sticking their tongue out, trying to catch raindrops, right? About two songs later, like, it is in a downpour out of nowhere. It hadn't rained in 2 months. Downpour in San Siro Stadium. It's, the place is going bananas. And Bruce called, like, I knew the guys that were in charge of the set list. He calls an audible, a Kyle Shanahan audible. And he says, he plays Creedence Clearwater Revival, Who Will Stop the Rain. And the rain stopped. And the whole stadium started saying, Odeo, like, he's God. He's God. He can stop the rain. He can bring the rain and he can stop the rain. And they're like shouting out, Odeo, Odeo, to Bruce Springsteen right there. To see how that rain, like, it was mystical how it started and it was mystical how it stopped.
That's a great story. Bruce Springsteen in Italy doesn't get better than that. Hey, Baldy, good stuff. We'll do it again next week, man.
Let's do it. All right, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.